Today on episode number 406 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/406. We've got a quick question about my quick start plan and the class that's coming up on May 3rd. We're going to have a last five and five from Jason Parsons, along with a great interview from Jason Parsons from Podcasting 101. We're going to talk about the new playlist feature in WordPress 3.9. We've got a Because of My Podcast story, and we're going to debunk iTunes myths. That whole, you only have 8 weeks to get into new and noteworthy. Yeah, Rob Walsh is going to say, I don't think so. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Come on in, get comfy, and get settled. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting here, from planning to recording to producing to monetizing, building your website, all the tools, all the gear, all points in between, everything you need to start a successful podcast. You can find out at my website, schoolofpodcasting.com. And normally I start off with a little bit of podcast success. And I wanted to hit this question right up front. And this is from Margo, and she has this question.
Hi, Dave. My name is Margo Levette, and I want to know the difference between your Quick Start program and the course that you are going to teach and present on May the 3rd. Did a little bit of podcasting myself. Now it's really on me to do it again. It was a lot of fun, and I really, really, I would like to try it again. So just want to know the difference between the Quick Start and the class that you are going to teach on May the 3rd. Guess that's it. Thanks a lot. Oh, I love your show. Thanks for everything that you're doing. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Margo. And yeah, let me answer that question. The Quick Start program is for the person who has the idea. They know what they want to podcast about. Often I will coach them through picking a URL, meaning a website address, a whatever.com. So if you have those two things, then what happens is you will order hosting through a link that I send you. Now, because you use my link, I earn a commission. That's good for me. Now, what's good for you is once you get signed up, your hosting company will send you a letter that says, hey, welcome to hosting company, blah, blah, blah. You forward that over to me. I log in. I install WordPress for you, and I install all the plugins you need to get podcasting, along with some other ones for SEO and a couple other things like that. Now, obviously, you're going to need to make your website look pretty, add the graphics, things like that. But then you're like, well, great, Dave, I have a website. I have no idea what to do with it. Guess what? You get a free month at the School of Podcasting, which has not only things about planning your podcast, it also has things about setting up your gear, what kind of hosting you need, what kind of theme, all that fun stuff is over there at the School of Podcasting. That is the Quick Start Guide. So in the end, if all you have is an idea, you spend whatever it is, $9 on hosting, you get your website set up, again, the bare bones of it, and you get a free month at the School of Podcasting. That is the Quick Start Guide. So if you already have a website, I have people ask me that all the time. If I have a website, can I still do the Quick Start? Not really, because in that case, I don't earn my commission. So in that case, it's just best to join the School of Podcasting where you get all those tutorials. What we're doing on May 3rd, I used to do a class podcasting in 6 weeks, and I had two options. I was either going to make it 12 weeks or I was going to go modular, easy for me to say, modular. And so I thought I would try this one first. So the first class is May 3rd. It's on planning your podcast. And we talk about things like how to pick your topic. Do you want to use a coast or a coast? It's a new one. Do you want a coast or do you want to drive? A host or a co-host? Identifying the why you want a podcast. Who is your target? How to pick a name and some things you might not think about when choosing a name. All the different pieces, puzzles of a podcast. So domain names and websites. So if I said all that stuff and you're like, I don't even know what a domain name is. And that's fine. We all start someplace. Also, how to plan your studio, plan your show length, understanding what makes good content, and understanding what is involved in creating a podcast. Because one of my greatest things about my podcasting in 6 weeks class, I had somebody sign up. And at the end of the 6 weeks, I'm like, okay, so, you know, what are your takeaways? And then one guy said, well, I know I'm not going to be podcasting. And I'm like, really? I talked him out of it. He says, no, I'm not podcasting about what I thought it was going to, because he did realize there was some work involved. So that's what's going on. Now, the question I often get is, what's the difference between my Planning Your Podcast class and the School of Podcasting? Well, the big one is me. I am live right there in front of you with a small group of other friends there. I don't have a huge class. I don't want a huge class. I want this to be intimate. And that's why I always say, go over and sign up quickly, because they do fill up fast. And so you get me there as we talk through those subjects, but also to ask questions. And I have been known to go over. So if you have questions and you want to keep going, I often will do that. Ask some of my folks who have taken the class before. So that's that. Now, is there a Planning Your Podcast section in the School of Podcasting? Yes, there are videos that you can watch. And that's why the School of Podcasting is such a value, because it has everything we talk about here on the show with videos, in some cases with audios, with cheat sheets, things like that. It's all there. The big advantage of the classes on Saturdays that are live is you have me. So it's a little more personal, and it allows me to customize my answers to you and everybody else that's there. So I hope that clears that up. I do want to do one thing. That call came in via SpeakPipe, and I'm not sure where she was when she called or things like that. And by all means, I'm not complaining. I just wanted to show you a cool tool that you can do this in Audacity. I'm doing it in Adobe Audition. And that is, let me play you this, her call, without this tool. You ready for this?
Hi, Dave. My name is Margo Levette, and I...
Hear that? So I was able to go in and say, listen to that tone, and wherever that is in the file, take it out. And that's how we ended up with...
Hi, Dave. My name is Margo Levette, and I want to know the difference...
It is a... In the case of Adobe Audition, it's called noise reduction, and I believe it's called the same thing in Audacity as well. But it's an easy way. Now, you can overdo it with that in some cases, so you have to be careful with that. But it is a cool tool, especially when you're getting things from, like if you were to call in 888-563-3228 from a cell phone, that audio quality often is not the greatest. And tools like that and compression and noise reduction, you can learn at the School of Podcasting. And there are great tools like that to help you produce the best audio that you can. And I do like to start off the show with some podcast success, podcast stories. And you can join in on the conversation. Just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And if you've got a microphone plugged in, there's a link right there. You can click on that and use it. You can call it in, 888-563-3228. Or you can just record it and send it to me as an attachment. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. And this one came in from Andy Drish. Take it away, Andy.
Hi, everyone. This is Andy Drish, host of Starting From Nothing. And because of my podcast, the leads that we're generating for thefoundation.com have doubled since starting the podcast. Our community has a place to go on a weekly basis now to discuss really, really powerful content and strategies to build their online businesses. And for me personally, it gives me a really cool social equity tool to reach out to powerful influencers or thought leaders or entrepreneurs, people who I would never normally be able to get my foot in the door with. But now, because we have one of the top podcasts in iTunes, I'm able to reach out to them, and they're, most of them will say yes to an interview because we've got that position in the iTunes store. And so I would highly recommend starting a podcast to anyone who's looking to start an online business or just wants to get connected with more influencers in their space.
Hi, everyone. Oops. Thank you, Andy. And again, you can find him at thefoundation.com. One other clip I want to play here. Speaking of my an alumni from podcasting in 6 weeks, I have Gar. I cannot talk today. Have you ever had one of those days when you show up but your mouth doesn't? Because you know I always say my target audience is the serious hobbyist in some cases. It could be the small business owner. It could be just someone like you that just wants to get the word out. You feel you have something to say. But you want to do it in the right way, and you want to do it with less headaches. And so Guy took my podcasting in 6 weeks class, and this is the result of that. Check this out.
The Chiropractic Lawyer with Dr. Guy DeMartino, a podcast designed to share information, advice, and practical tips for the practicing healthcare provider, patient, and lawyer. Now, let's get started at the intersection of law and medicine.
Welcome to episode 5 of The Chiropractic Lawyer. Today I'm excited to interview Dr. Timothy McCullough. Dr. McCullough practices in Houston, Texas, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is going to give us the road that he followed to become an advanced practice chiropractor in New Mexico, and how the change in his scope of practice impacts his ability to treat patients on a daily basis.
And now to this week's featured interview.
This is Guy DeMartino. I'm with Dr. Tim McCullough from Texas. Dr. McCullough, can you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, Guy. Dr. McCullough, I'm in
there you go.
Houston Tech.
Taking calls on Skype, recording them, putting out a show, intros, outros, bumper music, sounding great. You can find Guy at GS DeMartino, and it's pretty much spelled exactly the way you would think. It's D-I-M-A-R-T-I-N-O. So again, that's GSDMartino.com, meeting at the intersection of law and medicine. And I'll have links to this out in the show notes. Just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/406. And I do want to comment on, we played that because of my podcast story from Andy. And one of the great things about podcasting, you talked about how, you know, he was getting great leads from his podcast and was helping to grow his business. Another advantage of podcasting that a lot of people don't think about is the fact that Google pays attention how long people stay on your website. The technical geeky term of this is the bounce rate. In other words, how many times do some people come to your website, how do they visit, and then go, oh, I'm out of here, and they bounce right out. And what people are finding now is podcasting is a great way to build traffic to your website. Why? Because especially when I go to Guy's website, it's right there. It's an easy to navigate website, and he's got a link right there to a video that he's done. If I want to see his podcast, he's got a link right there. And I always tell people when we do the podcast review show, which you can find at podcastreviewshow.com, that's the show I do with myself and Eric K. Johnson, the podcast talent coach, and my wife will occasionally chime in. And one of the things that I always look for is a play button on your website. And you're like, well, big deal. Why, Dave? Here's why. Because if somebody clicks play, they're going to listen, at least for a little bit, unless it's just absolutely horrible right out of the gate. And so as they listen and they try to determine whether or not they want to listen, and if you notice with Guy's podcast there, he explains exactly what you're getting into, what to expect. And so if you're that target audience, you're like, oh, cool, this sounds good. I'm a chiropractic lawyer, or I'm a chiropractic office, or maybe I'm a patient, and I might want to listen to that. The longer you stay on the website, the better your website looks to Google. Now, the better your website looks to Google, the more traffic they're more than likely going to send. Your rankings are going to go up in the Google rankings. Why? Because according to Google, they're like, wow, when people go to this person's website, they go there, they spend, I don't know, 15 seconds and they leave. When they go to your website, they go there and they stay 4 minutes while they're listening to an episode. Maybe they stay 20 minutes. Maybe they stay a half hour. So I did some research on this, and I'll put links to this, again, out in the show notes, schoolofpodcasting.com/406. And according to CBS, the TV station here in the States, based on 120 million impressions, the average time on a whole website, you would think it'd be 20 minutes for a show, like 60 minutes, that at least somebody would hang around for at least a third of the show. It's 33 seconds, according to this. Most people get in, they browse what they want, and they get out, apparently. So I went over and did some further research, and here in April, we have, at this point, almost 70,000 visitors to the School of Podcasting. Now, before we all get excited, 17,000 of those are unique. If I look at March, I had 18,000 unique visitors and 82,000 complete visitors. As you might imagine, a lot of the members of the School of Podcasting come back. But as I looked at that and looked at some of the information on my website, I have anywhere from 12%. What's 5.6? That's 9, 10, 12. Yeah, we'll call it 12% of my audience stays an hour or more. of those visitors. So, yeah, I have some people that are coming in. They stick 2 minutes, which is still a heck of a lot longer than 30 seconds. And I have some people that are sticking around for hours. Now, again, those are probably members of the School of Podcasting. But nonetheless, Google's going to see that and say, hey, wow, this content must be good because people aren't leaving. So it's another kind of not a super obvious way in terms of a benefit of podcasting is the fact that you will get people to stick on your site longer. And that's why I always tell people you need to make it easy to find that play button because then they will stick around. Speaking of sticking around, today we're going to be talking with Jason Parsons of the Podcasting 101 podcast. And I wanted to share, I updated one of my test sites to WordPress 3.9. And the cool thing is it's like two clicks to update that. In fact, in many cases, it will update it itself now. But they added a new feature where you can make a playlist. And you'll hear in my interview with Jason, he says, I always refer people back to my first couple of podcasts. Well, in some cases, it's not super easy to find those because they've been archived or whatever. And you can now here's the thing I don't like about this. You have to upload your media to your website for this to work. So you're running your audio off your website. Not my favorite situation, but on the other hand, this isn't the same hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be downloading your podcast. These are those people you might say, hey, if you're new here, click here. And I'm probably going to make a playlist that has some of the top 10 questions that get asked, about podcasting at the School of Podcasting, things like that, and put them as a playlist. So it's like, hey, if you have a question, kind of like an audio FAQ, and I'm going to be making one of these. So you have to upload your audio to your website, and then you'll see once you get it there on the right or on the left-hand side, it'll say create audio playlist, and you would then see your audio in your media library, and you just click on the ones you want and say, boom, make this audio playlist, and it creates it there. It uses the ID3 tags, which we've talked about before. That's that information inside the MP3. So in the same way that you can tell a lot about the age of a tree because of the information inside the tree, you can tell a lot about a podcast or an audio file based on the information inside the actual file. And so it shows up right up there. It's not downloadable. Again, going to make people stick on your website to listen. And it's it's HTML5 compliant, so it'll work on a phone, work on an iPad, things like that. So that's one of the things that's new in WordPress 3.9 that I was like, okay, I could see creating a page, putting a playlist. Like if you're new here, go listen to these. When we talked to Jordan Harbinger from the Art of Charm podcast, he talked about how he always sent people back to the first couple episodes. This would be an easy way to do it. And of course, what do you put right underneath the playlist? Come on, you got to know this one. Of course, a button to subscribe in iTunes and an RS button so they can subscribe in whatever the heck they want to. So that's a new tool that just came out in WordPress 3.9. And if you're a person that constantly wants to send people back to certain episodes, or in my case, the one thing I dislike about my podcast is the fact that I have so many topics in one show. It's hard to say, oh yeah, go to episode number 138. It starts at the 18-minute mark. So I might be able to take some of these topics and put them on their own. And the other thing I should point out, since we're here, we're still in the first half hour of the show, I am considering making a shorter podcast and doing basically just that. Now, as a regular listener to this show, you wouldn't have to subscribe to it because it would be the same content, but it would be the contents broken up into chunks. And I guess what I'm looking for, have you ever thought to yourself, man, this show's long? I love the content, but I would rather have it in small size chunks. I'm actually pondering that thought. It would be the exact same content, but where here you have the little transition music, that'd be the end of the show. Here's one topic. Here you go. Here's another topic. It's just something I'm pondering. So would love your feedback on that. But media libraries now, playlists, audio playlists, and you could also do video playlists, are now available in WordPress. So if you're a person that's sending people back to the early episodes, you can now have those early episodes in an easy-to-find location and, of course, subscribe buttons right underneath of it. All right, well, I am excited to have on Skype with me the one, the only Angry Ginger. Exactly. Now, do we actually say your name?
Yeah, you can go ahead and say my name.
Jason Parsons. In fact, I remember you actually just said that in the episode. I was on your show. I was just listening to that. So thanks for having me on the show. And I was like, hey, you know what? You've been interviewing people for a while now. You are the man behind Podcasting 101. And, of course, you got some other shows. Tell us about your other stuff.
Currently, I'm doing 7 Days a Geek. I'm doing Level 7, which is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. / Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, and then Podcasting 101.
I was listening to 7 Days a Geek today because I was like, all right, I got to study my subject here, you know.
What I'm curious to what you think, because my persona is a bit tame on Podcasting 101 compared to what I do on 7 Days a Geek.
Well, that is the one thing I noticed. I was like, 7 Days a Geek, not entirely, I wouldn't say it's work safe. It's not like it's out of control, but the F-bomb did drop occasionally from different people on there. So it's definitely a bunch of guys sitting around talking about what they love, which in this case is comic books, movies. I was riveted by your discussion of trailers. I was. Seriously, I'm like, really? Going, I mean, you go deep into the movie. I was like, wow, these guys. And to me, that's the definition of, it sounds weird. If I have no idea what you're talking about, chances are it's really good content because you guys were like knee deep into the comic book stuff.
Like I love the movies and trailers growing up have always been one of the big, like before the advent of the internet and the way, you know, you can know everything the second the information is even in someone's head now. But back in the day, it was you go to the movies to see the trailers to see what was coming out, you know. So I just grew up loving movie trailers. And so I added that segment into the 7 Days of Geek so we could, you know, for one, tell people what's coming out. And sometimes we play the trailer as we talk over it. Sometimes we don't, but I just like to talk about, you know, what the movie could be or what information that we have to give to the audience. So that's the point of that segment.
So 7 Days a Geek, was that your first podcast?
No, it was probably my third or fourth.
Okay.
Do you want the story?
Let's hear it.
Okay. I am a huge Kevin Smith fan. I instantly went to iTunes, started listening to his podcast. And I think we may have talked about this a little bit when you were on my show. But when I was a kid, I used to pretend I had a radio station, me and a buddy, my best friend, Nate, across the street. I listened to him for a little bit. And then I started a podcast called Podcast the Motion Picture, which was about movies. And Grant, who is known as TK1, the Kilted One, it was him and I. And we did that podcast for a little bit. And it was around the time where you could still get away with having mediocre sound. Mm-hmm. So we went to Radio Shack and we bought a microphone. It was one of those desk microphones that you plug in through a port on your computer, you know, the microphone port. And
oh, yeah.
It said, you know, all these things it did on the packaging and podcast was on it. So we're like, oh, this has got to be the one. Of course, you know better than I. Yeah. Not great sound. You know, it was like we were talking in a tin can to each other, even if we were in the same room.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, it really was. But I love it so much. So I didn't care as much. I was like, you know what? Let's figure out what we're doing.
That's right.
Build our show. As listeners come in and we were getting better, if this is something we're going to stick to, we'll upgrade our equipment. Well, Grant is the type of guy that has to have everything right before he goes into it. And also, you know how we both tell people, if you want a podcast, you know, start building your show, record some episodes, get good at it. And like we've talked about the ATR, 2100 microphone, you know, get that, just start on something. Don't go out and spend $500 on a mixer and all this stuff because you may not be podcasting in a few months. And that's sort of what happened was I was having fun and so was he, but he wanted the good equipment. So we quit doing it. So that's when the last Podcaster Standing was born. That show was fairly successful. We ranked top 25 or top 50 in iTunes comedy for a while. And being four guys in Michigan who no one knows who they are, we were never any stand-up comedians or anything, kind of a benchmark for us. We were pretty proud of that. There was a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say alpha male, but there was a lot of everyone checking what everyone else was doing on the show. And we all had our own responsibilities and it kind of grew into its own monster.
Okay.
So as that was degrading, one of the things that we did was we did a lot of headlines and we talked about our lives, which I like doing. I like including who I am in the podcast. And I wanted to do that, but I wasn't the geeky person that I am. You know, I couldn't talk just movies or comic books or some of that stuff because there was four guys and we all had different personalities. So sometimes it just didn't get out. So I wanted to create 7 Days a Geek to to really be, you know, if I was going to headline my own show and do it, I wanted it to be what I was passionate about.
I want to stop it there. So here he is doing his first podcast, and he gets together with a bunch of people, and he says that people started looking over each other's shoulders probably because they were just started out, and hey, we're just buddies, and we didn't really designate who does what. And that kind of leads to problems sometimes. And so he took what he learned from his first podcast and put it into his next one. So we're going to be talking about pod fading in the future. And if you're like, pod what? Pod fading is a fun little word invented by the one, the only Scott Fletcher, who you heard on episode 400. He was the announcer guy. Binky and the Wind. That's Scott Fletcher. And it means you just stop podcasting. It means you let your show go. And we're going to be talking about that in the future because there is no shame in pod fading. But meanwhile, back at the ranch with Jason, let's continue on with his story.
So we did that. And then in the meantime, we joined a network with the last podcaster standing, which was the Pod Gods Network. So there was a podcast that we did for a while called Ask an American, which was us and Blogging Under the Influence, who was from, I believe, Indiana or Illinois, and then us. And then there was the British podcast, which is Adam Barker keeps changing the name of his podcast, but he's like the Not Listening podcast now. And we did a podcast where he would send five questions to us about Britain or something about their way of living. And of course, we had no way of knowing what it was, and we weren't allowed to look it up. So the whole show was based on, we had to come up with, we would get points like whose line is it anyways for who had the best answer, whether you were close or not, if it was funny.
That sounds very interesting. And then you would both cross promote each other's show then?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's sort of what we built it on. We were like the three shows that started the network. I mean, there were seven shows, but maybe we were the three biggest and we talked the most. So we just thought that would be a cool way to cross promote as well and build the network.
Now, when you say a network, like, what did that mean? We're a network. Was it just a bunch of people that said we'll cross promote each other? Was there, what was?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's different rules for every independent podcast network, but it was basically it was a community. We started out as about seven or eight of us, and I think we're up to about 30 or so podcasts now. But and that's what we do. We have to promo the Pod Gods Network at the beginning of the show and play one of the Pod Gods podcast promo inside of the show or at the end. And that's basically our only rules. And then, you know, if we're on Twitter or Facebook and we see someone pop up, hey, a new episode or something, we retweet it or share it on Facebook to sort of spread it to our audience as well. So it just helps get the word out there.
One of the things that we've been talking about on my show is the fact that you should embrace your uniqueness. What do you think that you bring as what's your uniqueness in this area? Because obviously you've got, actually just say that about all your podcasts. Like 7 Days a Geek, I'm unique. My unique flavor here is blank. And Podcasting 101, my unique flavor here is blank.
You know, it's a difficult thing because as much as I can talk about my life and stuff, it's sort of weird to put yourself in a position where you talk about yourself. Like, I am unique because of,
right?
You know, and I really don't know. Like, you sent me this question and I thought, how am I unique? But I think it's just the way that, I mean, we all see things a different way, or we all have had different life experiences, which give us knowledge on certain things. So, mm-hmm. Other than just talking about, you know, the next Spider-Man movie coming out, I sort of try and relate that to how you know, the character meant to me as a kid or growing up and stories that I read or, you know, a life situation. So I like to share things like that. With 101, it's more of a, I don't know if I'm unique. I definitely am still trying to build like the right persona for that show. And I'm trying to, at times I've struggled because I do have a bit of a foul mouth at times, and I don't want to just show that off in the show because I don't want to pigeonhole myself as to a certain group, because there's a lot of people out there that want to podcast about different things, you know? So I try to stay a little bit more, not generic, but, you know, I just want to stay more clean, I guess, even though there's been episodes where I haven't been, and I haven't heard much about either way. You know, I mean, there's been episodes where I've been a bit mouthy, and it really depends on the guest more than the audience. Like, if the guest has a show that's more like that, and I think I'm pretty good at relating to the guest that I'm talking to.
One thing that's definitely unique about you is you're working not one, but two jobs. And how many children do you have?
You know, I'd have to run upstairs and count, but I think the last check was five.
Okay, so just to stop that a second, two jobs, five kids. And he does a bunch of podcasts. That's amazing. My question is, how do you find the time to podcast?
You know, it was easy for a while because the second job that I do, I work in a warehouse during the day, and so I get to listen to a ton of podcasts. So that's how I find all these podcasts. I love listening to the shows. And then my second job, I do security at nights. It's lovingly been referred to as the crazy house. I work at a couple of low-income housing buildings downtown. So I sit at a desk most nights, and when I'm not doing rounds or dealing with someone doing something stupid or kicking a homeless person off the grounds, I'm editing, or I was. So the 3.5 years I've been there, they just, like, banned us from bringing our laptops. So I was getting, like, my 30-plus hours of my podcast work done at work. And now that I can't do that, now – And hours have dropped. So now it's been a little tricky the last month or so handling all these shows. And I'm trying to come up with a new schedule or a new way of doing things. But, that's one of the ways that I got away with it for a long time was I could multitask.
Well, what are the ages of your kids?
Lexus is 12. Haley is 11. Jayla is 8. Emma just turned 4 on Sunday. And Carter is 1.5 years.
Okay, so here's the other question. How do you find a quiet place to record?
I'm a pretty relatively nice guy, but there's times where I go storming upstairs like the dad, you know? All right, I need it quiet.
You know? Quiet on the set.
Yeah, because it's bedtime. I usually try to get downstairs after 8:30, 9 o'clock, because the two little ones are in bed by 8:30.
Right.
So they're quiet. And then I've got the older ones who, you know, they're girls. So there's a lot of screaming and you know, they've got to deal with what they're dealing with. Someone's got a hairbrush or the blow dryer's missing. There's a curling iron and a backpack. You know, you got to deal with that stuff. So I could do some of the editing then, but they've grown to. I mean, I've been doing it for 3.5 years in my house now, so it's sort of like a way of life now. They're just, oh, dad's recording. Like, they'll come running downstairs and they'll see me on mic and they'll be like, oh, are you recording? And they'll run upstairs. So
you don't have like the tie on the door or something that if this is here.
Unfortunately, the house we're in, there's no door
to the basement,
the basement and the kitchen. Yeah. So. Like and there's tiling in the kitchen, so like the noise just comes down here. So I just have to tell them out of the kitchen.
Yeah, well, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, if you have a door, maybe you're podcasting in a bedroom, you know, put a tie, put a sign, something that if it's on the doorknob, you know, do not disturb, just lets people know that hey, you're recording. Because those on the air signs are expensive. I priced them out once, and I was like, wow, never mind. When I started, I was next to the water heater, and it was great until somebody would flush the toilet because I was right next to the drain pipe. Well, you've been doing – how many episodes do you have of Podcasting 101 now?
You know what? I don't do it by episode number. I've been thinking about jumping in there and throwing an episode before the title, but I would say I'm close to 30 or 40.
Okay.
I know I've got about 12 or 15 that are banked right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That way when life happens, you're good to go.
Well, and it does in my house. I mean, there's been a few times I've had to cancel interviews because, you know, I've got a family of 5 and there's a lot going on around here. So I like to be ahead of schedule, if anything.
Sure. Well, obviously, you've been doing a lot of interviews. What tips would you have for someone who maybe is thinking of starting an interview show?
Prep.
Okay.
I would say know what you want to do. And that's a, I guess, a two-sided of the dice or the sword. Whatever you want to say is you want to prep and you want to be prepared and you want to figure out what you want to do with your show. But at the same time, when you start your show, I've started a few shows and they sort of take on a life of their own and they become a little bit different than what you expected them to anyways. So be a little open-minded. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, you have to. To me, the hard part of interviewing is you want to have a conversation. You don't want it to be an interrogation. So on one hand, you have to listen to the person. So my favorite example of this is, I forget what Daniel J. Lewis said to me. It might as well have been like, I was born in whatever, Kentucky, and my dad was a space alien, and then blah, blah, blah. I forget what it was, but he said something like that. And I was focusing on what the next question was going to be, and I'm kind of half listening. And I listened back to the recording, and I'm like, wait a minute, he just said his dad was a space alien. It was something like that I forget what it was, but I'm like, how did I let that go by? And so that's the hard part of interviewing is listening, you know, because there might be a great follow-up question that's going to be a whole lot better than the one you have on the page. I always use, like, we have some questions I gave you ahead of time.
Right.
And I'm going to use those in the event we just end up you know, with a big 15 seconds of silence. I'm like, okay, let's go to question six, shall we?
And that's sort of what I base on. I mean, I like to ask all the questions that I have, you know, because it gives podcasters who want to start out an idea of what people do or how they can use that idea for themselves. But after a while, just like you, I've gotten comfortable. It's different with different guests. Some people are a bit harder to get something out of, and others you can just have a conversation with. And I've gotten a little bit better at just having that conversation. And as you do it, you know your questions, so you know how to throw them in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's interviewing is something that wasn't I didn't think that I'd do or be good at it, but I sort of had fun doing it when we would interview some weird people or crazy people with the TLPS days. And I wanted to bring that into when I decided to teach people. I thought it would be a good idea to actually listen how other people do it instead of just me standing on a mic saying, this is how I would do it. Now listen to me, because I'm not always right.
How do you determine who comes on your show?
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I at first it was like, let's see who I can find that can, you know, help me build a good show so I can help people. It wasn't just like, I want big numbers, but, you know, I wanted to be able to help the audience. And now it's I'll find people who've just started a show or recently, so that way you can sort of get the idea of people who have been through it recently or are trying to figure it all out. And then I'll have people on like you, or I've had Daniel J. Lewis, I've had John Lee Dumas, you know, those people who are the professionals and who are kind of looked up to in the podcasting world, because, you know, they've got good answers. So.
See, he has a great mix there. People who provide maybe a different viewpoint, good content that's going to help people stick around once they find them. And then he's mixing in, and I don't consider myself a big gun, but he's picking and bringing in people who hopefully have a bigger audience to direct them to his show and then hopefully stick around. So he's the key number one of podcast promotion is give something for people to find that when they find it, they go, oh, wow, this is great. Because otherwise, if you put out, can I say crap? Is crap a bad word? If you put together a bunch of crap and then you get somebody who has a big audience, the only thing that's going to do is alert the world that you have crap faster. Does that make sense? You want to make the best show you can. You want to make content that's like, wow. And then when you bring in people to help grow your audience, they go, wow, that was actually pretty good. So he's got a great mix of people that aren't always, you know, super jumbo deluxe, oh my gosh, name, you know, brand name kind of people, but he's focusing again on his content.
So, and you know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, this is a cool show. I'm going to have him on just so I can get to meet them and talk to them.
There you go. It's one of the bonuses of podcasting. Really, if you said, hey, can I just spend a half hour with you? They'd be like, no. But if you go, can you spend a half hour with me on my show? They're like, oh, sure. What time?
I've rarely been turned down. There's a few people, and they seem to be more of the business podcasters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's because I'm a low-life little podcaster. I mean, they're probably busy. But other than them, most people, and they're podcasters. They're, you know, just like you and I. We've got microphones. We like to talk, and so do they. So, and I think that you wouldn't argue in the fact that that's the best way to promote your show is to go on another show.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the last podcaster standing show that kind of did it implode, is a way of saying that? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of fighting, but there was a lot of, I don't even know if animosity might be a strong word. Like me and Grant are still friends. He's on 7 Days a Geek. Mm-hmm. But we just had different ways of wanting to run things. And he sort of had an issue for a while where he left the show. And he was the showrunner. He was the guy that came in and ran the mic and everything. And I was more of the Andy Richter, but you know, maybe a little bit dirty. And I was the punchline guy. And by then I was like, you know what, I want to give this a try. And I thought all of us should have a try on the mic. You know, maybe we'll rotate or something. And the other two guys, Tom and Joe, they were like, no, I don't really want to host. And I was sort of having the itch. So around the time that he left, and it's, you know, it's been discussed big time on the show. So if you want to know why he left, you can go listen to it. But and surprisingly, that show was still listened to. It's been off the air for 2 years. I love hearing from people. But so he came back and he was like, you know, the show wasn't what he wanted it to be. And maybe he was trying to grow as a person. I'm not, there's a lot of different stories, and he wasn't getting along with a certain person at times. So it was just one of those things that was like better off dead.
How many people are on that show? Five?
There were four guys, and then we brought in Stephanie via Skype. She was a fan first, and she kind of became like our behind the scenes assistant. And she was just like one of the guys, and she needs to be on the show. And it was one of those things where we kind of wanted a girl on the show anyways, because it was a big sausage fest. You know, there's four guys just blasting out whatever. So it was nice to have a girl in their thoughts. And that's one of the questions I've asked podcasters that have come on the show is why have you brought on a guest? And a lot of times it is they brought on a woman to get that other feel. And it seems to work in radio too. So that's probably why they do it.
Yeah. Now, how do you figure out who does what?
That was one of my learning lessons with 7 days with TLPS, the last podcaster standing, was we all had jobs. We're like, I was the I guess marketing guy. I was on Twitter, I was on Facebook, I was broadcasting the show, letting everyone know. And then I was sort of the funny guy in the show. And then they brought news articles, Grant ran it, and we took turns. There was a few of us that edited it at times. And it sort of turned into, you know, well, someone was looking over someone else's shoulder about who was doing what. So when I started 7 Days a Geek, I was like, look, I want to do the podcast. And I invited a couple of friends that I grew up with. I was like, well, if I start another one, will you guys come over once a week? We can drink a beer and we can just have a good time. And they were like, yeah. So, I mean, basically, I do everything behind the scenes. It does get a little difficult at times. And I've reached out to some of my listeners, my fans, and asked them for help. And I'll tell you one thing, man. If you've got an audience, they will be more than willing to help you out. I've had people that have done artwork for me. I've had people that go through episodes now and they'll cut clips for me to put on SoundCloud, or if I'm doing a greatest hits bits, they'll pull stuff for me. I mean, I've got Althea, who was my assistant for Podcasting 101, who started out as a listener of Last Podcaster Standing. So she's been around for 3 years.
Do you have just one assistant or do you have multiple?
Well, I have a couple of people that help out with 7 Days a Geek as well. I have Angry Oz Geek, at Angry Oz Geek, what he goes by on Twitter. It's Aaron Henderson. He helps out with the design of the webpage, and he does a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. I've got a listener of mine goes by Coach. He helps pull some of the stuff for me. And then the guy that I actually mentioned that does the kidney transplant that was going through all that, he came on, and he's an admin on the Facebook page. And he deals with a lot of people on Twitter as well. He's a really cool dude.
And if you're wondering, we talked about a person, of a fan of his, who, and I think he talks about it here a little later. I did some editing here, and it just dawned on me as we were listening on that, I put that story towards the end of the interview. But he actually had a fan, and you'll hear this in a second, that mentioned he had a kidney transplant, and it was Jason's podcast that kind of helped him get through recovery. So when in doubt, ask your audience.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's amazing how much help I've gotten from them. Sure. I really would say I can't do the shows without the help of them.
That is really cool to hear.
Yeah.
What would you say is like the coolest connection or response, something that's happened between you and one of your audience members?
Oh, God, I got a lot of them.
Cool. Share away.
Even Althea, she disappeared off the grid, man. She was one of our big listeners. She was always like, we did this thing, listen and tweet, where every, I think it was Wednesday when we dropped our shows, we would go on, we'd all go on at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. And anyone who wanted to listen to the show at that time and tweet along with us, we'd do hashtag TLPS. And I do that with 7 Days a Geek, hashtag 7DAG. And we'd just sort of direct or commentary the episode. As it's going, we would tweet things. They would tweet things that they thought was funny. And we'd go back and forth on that. So she was a big advocate on that, and she was always around, and all of a sudden she disappeared one time. So we photoshopped her face on a milk carton and it says missing, and we just put it on all of our feeds, and we had every listener put it on there. And we actually, through the grapevine, through someone who didn't even know who we were, knew who she was, and we're like, hey, are you looking for her? So we got an email address, and I kept in touch with her through that way for a while until she started listening to podcasts and came back with 7 Days a Geek. But I mean, I've had people write me and say, you know, I think it was a kidney transplant. You know, you got me through that. I was going, you know, in the hospital, and people have gone through divorces and they've listened, and you know, that got them through. It's the strangest thing to have people that like are entertained by you, or you know, you actually do something to their life.
Yeah, because you're just hanging out with your buddies, having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose is to entertain. I won't be recording it and releasing it. But yeah, I mean, that is one of the purposes. I want to see my friends. I want to have a good time. And the fact that they're like the fly on the wall and they're entertained by it and they leave a voicemail or write an email is sometimes far and beyond what you expect from anybody.
Well, that's one thing we should probably talk about, that it seemed to me when I listened to 7 Days a Geek is that you mentioned earlier, you know, the advice for the new podcaster is to prep. Mm-hmm. You guys definitely seem to have, like, we're going to talk about this, then we're going to talk about that. It's not five guys just sitting around having a beer and talking. Even though it sounds like that, you guys know where you're going before you even hit record.
Well, I structured it in a way that I do the show notes. So, like, during the week, I'll use my notes on my phone, and I'll just write topics in, anything I want to talk about. And then at the maybe the day before or the day of sometimes, because, I'm fairly busy, I'll put them in, like, okay, what trailers are we going to talk about? What's in the geek news this week? And then we added a segment, Tech Talk, because two of my buddies, they're into cars and, like, science and weird stuff that, like, I don't know anything about. So sometimes it's funny to have them bring me something and I'll just mock it, you know, and they're dead serious about it. So we added that. But other than that segment, that if they bring something, I have all the show notes and I don't let them see it. So they don't know what we're going to talk about. I might tell them, okay, we might hit on this, this, and this, but for the most part, they're in the dark. So it is just a conversation to them.
A little planned spontaneity.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got a podcaster on your show. You can't let them get off the mic without talking about their mic and their gear. So what are you using to produce things over there?
I have a Behringer 1204 USB board.
Okay.
I think it's four channels, and then you got a couple extra auxiliary channels on it as well. And I've got four mics. I've got four MXL microphones, and then I just run everything into my Mac and use GarageBand.
There you go. And that's interesting because usually I'm assuming those are condenser microphones?
Yes.
So you must have a lot of carpeting or going, because I hear like almost no like room noise.
I don't have any carpeting. I was really worried about that at first. I've done a little tinkering with my knobs.
Yeah, I was like, I never would have guessed that. I thought you were going to tell me you're on a, you know, whatever, a Shure SM58 or something like that. So
it's strange though, because like you can't hear that, but if someone farts upstairs, you're going to hear it. I would like a dynamic mic because the sound is, decreased to just where my mouth is pointing to, but I have not had no complaints about anybody saying the echoes or the bad sound or anything. One thing I would like to replace is some of the cables, because every once in a while I get that like electronic feedback. But it's more so, I think you hear it in the microphone, you hear it in the headphones. I don't ever hear it recorded.
All right. Well, of course, the other question we got to ask is how are you getting the word out about your show? What do you do to promote it?
I live on social media.
Oh.
Yeah, with a smartphone in hand, and especially with the second job, I can get away with a lot. So when I'm not busy, you know, I'm always like promoting the show, I'm talking about it, or the listening tweets are, I would recommend anyone do that. For one reason, it's fun and it gets you involved with your audience. When people who haven't listened to the show might see all this ruckus going on in their timeline and they're seeing, you know, what are they talking about? And then you got, they're asking you, it's like, hey, jump on in, listen to the show. So that's always worked with the shows that I've done. So that's, I think, one of the best ways I've promoted.
Say somebody's new to your show. Is there one episode that you would say, here's a good one that's a good representation, or do you have a favorite interview? Not that the other interviews were bad, but do you have one that you go, wow, that was a really fun one?
Yeah, and I'm not like blowing smoke up your butt or anything, but I really enjoy your show. So it was really a pleasure having you on my show. So I would tell people to listen to that one. I also am a fan of Tiny Odd Conversations. And they were one of the first ones that I got on the show. So I point people to that one. Grammar Girl was fun to talk to. And also, I always tell people to go back to the first two, because that really represents like who we are. It was a good introduction of everyone and how we know each other, because the three of us grew up together. So there were a lot of funny stories about us being kids and growing up and doing stupid things. And then there's the Grant who I've known through work, and we've done podcasting together. So, I mean, there is a really mixed good chemistry with our show, I think.
And now it's time for a last 5 and 5. What were the last 5 podcasts you listened to?
The last 5 I listened to. Okay, I told you I was a Kevin Smith fan. So right. Obviously Smodcast show always makes me laugh. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's for Kevin Smith and his producer, Scott Mosier. And I mean, the shows can be about anything. They pull articles. I mean, he wrote a movie about a subject that they had found online. Really entertained by that. And then he had some friends on his show, quite like I did. I brought my friends in and they started their own podcast called Tell 'Em Steve Dave. I'm a huge fan of that show, maybe sometimes more than Smodcast. It's just three regular guys sitting around, and they ended up with their own TV show called Comic Book Men on AMC, and it's they're just fun guys to listen to. I listened to one of his new ones is Edumacation, so I've been kind of growing on that one, trying to give that one a listen. So I listened to that one quite a bit this week. Welcome to Night Vale, I listen to periodically. I read a lot of people saying how hilarious it is and stuff, and it's not. There's one episode I just listened to that I actually laughed quite a bit out loud at. But for the most part, I just enjoy because of the writing. It's just it's so strange. The last one I think I listened to was yours, actually.
Is that five? Let's see. We had
Smodcast, Tell 'em Steve Dave, Edumacation, Welcome to Night Vale, and School of Podcasting.
I forgot about Edumacation.
Yep.
So if we want to send people to find you, is it just best thing to do to send them to iTunes and say search for Podcasting 101 or?
Yeah, if they just search 7 Days a Geek, both podcasts will come up. The Level 7 podcast is in the 7 Days a Geek feed. Yeah, they can find me there. They can find me if they go to 7daysageek.net. All the information is there right on the front page. I'm on Twitter at, now this is where it gets tricky, people. It's S, the number 7, EVEN. So it's 7 spelled out with 7 after the S, 7 Days a Geek. I'm at S7, EVEN, Days a Geek. And just those methods will find me the best.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm glad we got to do this. I had a blast having you on the show, and now I got to return the favor, I guess.
There you go. Some good podcasting stuff. And so my point here is, if a guy with 2 jobs and 5 kids can find time to podcast, come on now, turn off the TV. You can start a podcast, can't you? And really nice guy. It was cool to chat with him. And we do have a little time here. Normally, I answer your podcast questions here, and I heard something on the feed. Now, if you're not listening to the feed, you got to listen to the feed. You can find it. It's, I think if you just type in Libsyn, I know finding the feed in iTunes is a little tough. If you go to blog.libsyn.com, I'm sure they've got buttons there. This is Elsie Escobar and Rob Walsh, who is the VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn. And number one, it's a great show. We talked about where do you put the really good stuff at the beginning or the end. And come on, let's all raise our hands together. We're all stat junkies. And so they always put stat stuff at the very, very end. And we listen to everything. That's actually one of the few shows I actually download their app. Like I have the feed app on my phone because it's one button to call and leave a message then. And I actually have an app. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/app, it's for Android, it's for iOS, and also on Windows, I'm sure. It's through Libsyn. And speaking of Libsyn, if you want a free month at Libsyn, you can use the coupon code SOPFREE. But I have said from the mountaintop, nobody knows the exact recipe of getting to the top in iTunes. We all have an idea. I was reading a book whose name will go unnamed here, and they said, here's the formula, and I just felt like going, BS, because you don't work for Apple, and there's, I don't know, 3 or 4 people probably in the podcast department at Apple. They know, and unless that person knows that person somehow, but they were saying, here is the definitive way to do that. And there are books out there, and there are it's information from people who are doing very well in podcasting. And I've been politely saying nobody knows. And there are people who have access to stats and who watch podcasts like Rob. And, well, let's just play a little clip from Rob.
Someone out there, people keep hitting me up with this saying, oh, I heard this about you only have X number of weeks to get into the new and noteworthy section of iTunes. I don't know who started that rumor. Where it came from, it's never been true. And for example, one new podcast this week in the new noteworthy has been around since 2008.
Notice he said, never been true. Never been true. New noteworthy from 2008.
And another one has been around for over 2 years. The section really is new or noteworthy, not new and noteworthy. And all shows are manually selected by Apple, so they can put in any show they want for whatever reason they want in that section. Granted, most are new shows, but they are not all new shows. So there's no magic X number of weeks or days you have to get into the new and noteworthy section before your show is no longer qualifies. Because again, this week there was one from 2008. So I saw that and I was like, okay, I got to mention that again.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Rob. Check it out. Look for the feed. I think if you just type in the feed Libsyn in iTunes, it'll pull right up. Or just go into the app section, download their app as well. And so, you know, it's just nice to kind of, not in a, hey, I told you so kind of thing. But I've been telling people, Nobody knows. And if you have somebody that you're spending a lot of money, you're sending a lot of money to, and they say, I know how to get to, I know, I have, absolutely, tried true method. This is how you know. No, they don't know. Nobody knows unless you have an Apple logo on your, you know, sleeve or whatever the uniform is. You don't know. And so when I heard that, I was like, absolutely. I know Brian Gumbel, the whatever sports announcer guy from the Today Show from back in the day, he got in, I think, in 10 weeks. So it's not, and that's what used to be my example. I'm like, no, it's not new and noteworthy. It's new or noteworthy. So there is a we have about 3 minutes. Okay. There is a story in the U.S. There's a very famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware River, I believe it is. And it's this picture of him in the daylight, and he's standing on the boat, and there's a guy holding a flag, and they're going across. And everybody believes that's how it happened because this was, number one, back in the day in the 1700s, there was no iPhone 5 to take a picture, and there was no 24-hour news network. But we all believe that's how it happened because that's how it was taught. We saw the picture in the books, and if you hear it enough and enough and enough and enough and enough, it just becomes the truth. The truth is they crossed at night. The truth is the boat wouldn't have been going very fast because there was at that time probably a lot of ice on that river. And it was more than likely not a boat but more of a flat barge because they were carrying things like cannons and things like that. I've done a lot of research on that. The fact there's a great book called Don't Know Much About History. And it is amazing about how history gets distorted because people just say the same thing over and over and over and over. There's a great about goal setting that there was a high school class, and I'm just going to throw out numbers out of my rear end here, but it was something like 10% of the graduating class set goals and the other 90% didn't. And the so-called study was that when they got together at their 20-year high school reunion, the people that had set goals outperform the other 90%. So something completely lopsided and you go, wow. Now it is good to set goals and write things down, but that never happened. But I used to quote that in a class and I finally found somebody that said, yeah, go actually look for that study. It doesn't exist. It was kind of an urban myth. So I urge you now, as more and more people are coming out to teach you how to podcast and they say things like I've got this or, you know, they start spouting numbers. I'm going to start doing this myself. I told you that number about CBS, you can find the link to that. I'm going to start quoting my sources and I'm going to start just really saying, no, here's why I think this. Don't just start taking people's word for it, because when you take their word for it, they're probably going to take your money. And that's really what they want in some cases. So be careful out there because some people are saying things that just aren't true. And I don't want to be like a fear monger. I just want you to realize that you might want to ask some questions a little bit more. And if you're not sure what to ask, well, then ask me and I will be more than happy to help you. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact and all my information is there. And that is going to do it for this episode. I want to thank Rob and Elsie for letting me play that clip. Again, find them over at blog.libsyn.com. Want to thank Jason Parsons from Podcasting 101. Do a search for him. He actually has a Libsyn page set up. If you go over to podcasting101.libsyn.com, you can find his podcast there. It's also in iTunes and things like that. He's actually working on a website, a new website. That's why we kind of had that whole where do you find you kind of question there. Really nice guy. Thanks for coming on the show. Don't forget that if you upgrade to WordPress 3.9, they now have the audio playlist feature, and that might be something that you want to incorporate into your website if you're constantly sending people back to older shows. Don't forget, class seating is limited. May 3rd, right around the corner. If you're going to sign up, go over to howtopodcast.com and sign up for the Planning Your Podcast. You'll be talking to me live April 3rd. 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. If you can't make it at that time, you can get a recording. But if you're looking to launch a podcast, this is a great place to start that really helps you define where you're going. You're going to sharpen that axe before you start swinging at the tree. And of course, if you just want to get into all things podcasting, come over to the School of Podcasting and click on the Join Now button and go through our self-paced tutorial. So thank you so much for tuning in. In the future, we are going to be talking about when do you stop podcasting? Like, how do you stop a show? We've got that going on. We're going to be talking about editing. Yeah, and I know some people are like, oh, I don't do any, you know, show prep. I don't do any post-editing. I just let it fly. And I'm like, have you ever heard of movies? Have you ever heard of TV? I once went and saw the Today Show live at the New Media Expo. A bunch of us went down after the New Media Expo, and Jay Leno came out. He started to do his monologue, and something happened, and they just went, okay, we're going to do that again. Then he went back behind the curtain, and it was called editing. They cut that out later. And how about you? I'm not perfect. And so we'll talk about editing and some tips you can do and what to edit and how to edit. And that's just going to be based on my years of experience. And I just did one a couple weeks ago where the interview that we did went an hour and a half. And how do I scale that down to something that was a little more manageable? I don't like putting out super duper 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 duper. And by that, I mean duper long episodes. And so that'll be coming in the future, as well as your questions. So again, if you want to join on in, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. So I remind you, it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. I would love to help you launch a podcast. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click the Join Now button, and I will see you on the inside. Take care. God bless.